This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, I don't know if this is like big news. We kind of knew this was going to happen. But the Cleveland Browns have officially named their week one starter, and it is Joe Flacco. I mean, I guess to start the training camp, it was Flacco, Pickett, Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders. Then you had injuries. I mean, Kenny Pickett, he has not participated in 11-on-11 drills since his injuring his hamstring on July 26th. Dylan Gabriel, he didn't play in the preseason opener because of a hamstring injury. And then Sanders didn't get any reps with the starting offense during camp, but also played great in his first preseason game, but didn't play in the second preseason game because of an oblique injury. And the Browns also signed on August 4th Tyler Huntley to provide depth with these guys. Mike, is Shedeur Sanders not going to make this team? I mean, he had a great first preseason game, but if you're... Is Kenny Pickett the odd man out? Big Hub said, texting in, so Gabriel's remarks aren't as big a deal as others made it. I don't believe so. I read a reporter's tweet saying, hey, this is being taken out of context. He was talking about celebrities and actors and avoiding distractions. And he talked about avoiding distractions with more popularity now that he is an NFL quarterback or he's a player in the league. He was more talking about that. Like, hey, I'm not a celebrity, so it's easier for me to not have those distractions. So I don't know. It'd be very, very, I mean, it is Oregon and CU, but it'd be very strange if Gabriel was throwing shade at Shedeur Sanders. But then again, this is why drafting a guy like Shedeur Sanders is tough, because the fourth string quarterback, as we sit here today, is the most talked about player. Maybe the most talked about player on that team, with a team with Myles Garrett on its roster. So, very similar to how the Tim Tebow situation went down. He was always the hero. He was the most talked about dude. It was Tim Tebow and everybody else. How about the Bills? I mean, say what you want about the Bills in preseason and all that stuff, but they lost to the Chicago Bears 38-0 in preseason. I mean, the Bills played their backups pretty much against Caleb Williams. And then the Bears starters, they had the starters in to start Sunday's game. But still, losing like that, the preseason, mental thing maybe? I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'll admit I looked at the score and I was kind of like, whoa, that's pretty rough. But then my brain quickly went right back to the logical side of it's the preseason.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's August.
It's mid-August, and these games are what they are. But Sean McDermott was kind of upset. He said he was concerned by his team's overall performance. Certainly, quote, certainly not up to our standard or what we expect. We got a lot of work to do. That's very clear. Doesn't matter who's out there. Ones, twos, threes, fours, whoever it is, we expect them to perform, and we expect our level of performance to be much better than that. I mean, they only had like two projected Bills starters that actually saw playing time. That was safety Cole Bishop and wide receiver Joshua Palmer. So, yeah, it's a nothing burger. Yeah, I saw that, Big Hub. Monica McNutt on ESPN. She's an interesting one. Who did she have on? Some celebrity. I'm not good on celebrities as much as I used to be. Micah, that's your territory. You know all the nerdy things and the scores and actors and all that stuff. They had a celebrity on with McNutt and Stephen A. Smith. He's clearly wearing a Barry Sanders jersey. It's backwards. He's wearing it backwards, so it has the nameplate in front. So it's Sanders and then his number. And McNutt, basically, and it's a Detroit Lions jersey. But she makes reference to, what did she say, like, you're sporting a Shedeur Sanders jersey. Like, that's how crazy this is, man. Shedeur Sanders is the first thing you think of when you see, you're in sports, by the way, and you see a Detroit Lions or just a blue jersey with the name Sanders on it, you would go, obviously, that's Barry Sanders. Now, maybe there's somebody else on a Detroit Lions roster with the same number and name of Sanders, and then that was an honest mistake. But it's not even the same team. And she jumps to Drewski is the guy. Is that a singer? I've seen him on stuff. Is that a singer or an actor? I don't know. That's bad, dude. That's a bad look. Like, I don't like people to get fired, but you're going to see a Barry Sanders jersey, and you're going to ask, you're basically going to infer that it is a Shedeur Sanders jersey, that you're showing some love for Shedeur Sanders. And he's like, no, Barry Sanders. Dead giveaway is the Detroit Lions. I mean, most Detroit Lions fans probably have just a couple of jerseys that they would wear collectively, and that's Barry Sanders. Calvin Johnson's probably up there. Might be some Stafford jerseys. And now there's probably getting to be more. He's an internet comedian. Okay. Oh, he's from your area. He just looked like absolutely stunned. He's like, no, it's Barry Sanders. Dude. Like, that's bad. Like, people get fired for doing bad stuff. I get that. But what about being not good at your job? Isn't that pretty bad? That's got to be up there, man. Seeing a Barry Sanders jersey, one of the best running backs in the history of the game, and it's clearly a Detroit Lions jersey, and you're going to assume that he's supporting Shedeur Sanders. That's how crazy this fandom is, and ESPN, of course, buys right into it.
Was she from home? Was she one of those people broadcasting from home?
No, she's
or
in,
was she
no,
in
they're,
studio?
They're in studio. They're in studio right by each other.
Yeah, immediately I would have had security escort her out.
Yeah, man.
Like, I mean, that's just dumb. How do you not know who Barry Sanders is? I can understand if you're a young person who's a fan of Shedeur Sanders and you just weren't alive in the era of Barry Sanders. But if you're in sports, you should know who Barry Sanders is. Her that's just offensive.
Is it so? Like, there are major outlets talking about maybe, like, this is a headline from Yahoo.com, from Yahoo Sports. Fans calling for major changes to ESPN after Barry Sanders disaster. Is it that bad? Is it a disaster? Is it an embarrassment? Would you fire her for this? Is that a fireable offense?
I would fire ESPN.
Well, because now you don't trust her, right? You're like, you don't know Barry Sanders. Why would I trust anything else you have to say about sports? That's one of the biggest names, man.
Yeah, like, her credibility is completely gone.
She was playing host to ESPN's First Take earlier this week. She welcomed comedian Drewski onto the show. I think I'm saying it right. Known for his social media sketch videos, big time sports fan. Look at this, Mike. Clearly wearing a Barry Sanders jersey. Like, you can see that, right?
Yeah.
That's as obvious as you can get. She says, it's a blast to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us. The jersey, obviously, ties to Shedeur Sanders. Drewski was quick to respond. He says, no, 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 no. This is Barry Sanders? Man. How do you... It's not even a Browns jersey.
Not even a CU jersey.
No, I could see it if it was like let's just say it was a black jersey or a white jersey, and it just said Sanders on it. First off, the number's not even right. Barry Sanders was number 20. So I just, boy, that is, That's a rough look, man. I don't know. I don't know if I'm immediately going to, that's a fireable thing.
Probably not.
Shadur is number 12.
Her credibility's gone. I would definitely reduce her airtime.
Like, I'm saying, if it was a bland kind of jersey, it didn't actually loudly scream the colors of the team. And let's even say it was a black jersey, but it was like one of those gimmicky jerseys, and it said number 20 Sanders. If she would have said that, okay, yeah, I got the number wrong, but still, that could have been more of an honest mistake. Okay, I don't know everybody's numbers. I used to be a guy that knew people's numbers really well. I'm not good at it anymore. It just doesn't stick in my brain. But to see a blue jersey, clearly a Detroit Lions jersey. Does she not know the color of the Browns? That's tough.
That's some really bad colorblindness.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe she's colorblind. I don't know. If that were the case, then okay, she gets a pass. That would be a pass, right? If she came out today and said, I'm actually colorblind, I did not see that it was blue. That would be the only thing. But now when she gets on there, because she's had opinions about Nikola Jokic before and the Nuggets and things like that.
Are they bad opinions?
It's ESPN.
Oh, so bad opinions.
Mostly bad opinions about,
why is Jokic not a Laker?
Right, or why, he's not the greatest player. He's not the, or his numbers, blah, blah, blah. It's ESPN. They go out of their way to not talk about him, and then when they finally have to, when he's doing things like averaging the crazy triple-doubles that he's doing, you had to.
That doesn't count because he's not wearing a yellow and purple jersey.
Lakers, Shadur Sanders, those are the hot button. Those are the hot topics right now in ESPN. Lakers always. But, yeah, man, I don't know.
Maybe the NFL owning like 10% stake in it will change it.
Yahoo Sports says it's unclear if McNutt was making a bad joke or if she truly didn't know who Barry Sanders is. I mean, she could be making a joke. I hope so. Is she like a big time Shadur Sanders fan? Big Hub, I don't know. You tell me. Like, if she's like on every day saying Shadur should be the starter, Shadur, he's a great, and she's having debates about it, then maybe it was a joke. But it didn't seem like it was a joke. I mean, she didn't quickly say anything like, oh yeah, no, I'm just messing with you. Stephen A. kind of was just sitting off to the corner like, are you kidding me? But now you got fans like, hey, you should get rid of her. How did she get a job on a sports network? One fan wrote, absolutely insane for Drewski to make a political statement like this endorsing Bernie Sanders. Please keep politics out of sports.
Maybe he was endorsing Colonel Sanders. I mean, personally, churches is better than KFC.
There you go. Now you're on fire, Mike. I doubt it, but she's supposed to be on there for WNBA and NBA, not host. I'm assuming nobody else could have filled in. She wasn't on there today. She probably won't be on there. She's mainly on basketball stuff. I see her on basketball stuff most of the time. So I guess, does that give you a pass? If, like, your expertise is basketball and that's all you know and all you study, that's what you were hired for, and you don't know who Barry Sanders is that a big deal?
I mean, kind of, but then why are you working during football season?
Yeah, why are you asked to host that show? What gave you, like, when they're saying, okay, we need someone to fill in for the show today, I don't really watch that show, so I don't even know who the regular group is. But what gave her, I'm guessing she got a little bump in pay for working that day, for being the fill-in that day. What gave the producers and whoever makes those decisions the idea that, yeah, she would be good hosting a football-type show because we're going to be talking football today? Like, do they not ask people anymore? Like, hey, do you know about football? And if they just say, yeah, I know a lot about the NFL. Good enough for me. You're the host. You jump on there. Like, I get it if that's not your territory and somebody showed up on your basketball set wearing that jersey and that's what you did. It also just shows you more, though, like, he's a fourth-string quarterback. But he's more talked about than Travis Hunter. It's not a Buffs thing. Sorry, Buffs fans. It's not a Buffs thing. It's a Sanders thing. People love the name Sanders. They love Coach Prime, and they are rooting so hard for Shedeur Sanders and Shiloh Sanders. They want those two dudes to just be, and you should root for your guys. I get that. That's fine. But when it blinds you, I mean, I had Buffs fans tell me that it's clearly Shedeur Sanders, and if you don't think he's the number one quarterback on the Browns roster, you don't know football. Like, I'm shocked by Sanders. I put my tweet out last week about it. Like, I was stunned that he fell in the draft. I thought he was good. I watched a lot of Buffs games. I thought he was very good. And then I went there. I said, yeah, you know, his little strut out coming into the stadium with his boombox, and it was a player. I don't care if it's a player. Like, I'm not a Browns guy. I don't know everybody on the roster. Why would I know everybody on the Browns roster? And of course, that was turned into a racist thing. Because I said I wasn't crazy about a rookie quarterback coming in with one of his teammates walking next to him with a boombox, like intro music. Not crazy about it. Is it the end of the world? No. Do I have a problem if an established player does it? Probably not. But if Bo Nix would have done that last year, that would have been an alarm to me. That would have been a red flag to me on Bo Nix.
Yeah, that's not leadership quality there. You shouldn't be putting yourself up on a pedestal. If you're a leader, you put the team first.
Now, if Patrick Mahomes did that, we'd go, whoa, that's kind of out of his character. But I'd still be like, well, if there's a guy that deserves to have a boombox played next to him while he walks into the stadium, cool. I could totally see Travis Kelce doing that. And it would be like, that's Travis Kelce. The dude's larger than life. But if Troy Franklin shows up for the preseason game against the Saints this weekend and he's coming out to a boombox, I think fans are going to be rubbed the wrong way there, too. It's going to be, oh, dude, man, earn it on the field first before we start getting a little flashy.
He's earning it, though.
There's a reason. Yeah, he is. There's a reason in, like, the WWE, when they're trying to really get a guy popular and he's a heel, they have him be over-the-top cocky because they know the fans are going to boo that. And it's going to be so loud, it's going to be talked about. There's a reason that's constructed that way. There's a reason The Rock, when he stormed onto the scene, was as loud as you can possibly be because they wanted him to be a bad guy, and they know that most people typically don't like that stuff. So we're going to make, that's how you're going to be a heel.
So I thought The Rock was a good guy.
I don't know where he is now, but he's gone back and forth. He's gone back and forth on that. He was a bad guy kind of when he first started. There you go, a little more.
I mean, some of his first movies were pretty bad.
Big Hub said, could Josh Allen do that or Lamar Jackson? Absolutely. It'd be weird because you haven't seen it before from them. You'd be like, oh, okay, they're coming in with a little different confidence about him this time. But you'd at least not say, well, he hasn't earned it on the field. Lamar Jackson is the most electrifying man in all of sports entertainment. And Josh Allen is pretty good. Yes, Michael.
Well, I feel like this is more like the PA guy's job. Like, yeah. The people working up in the PA booth at the very top, let them play the music. Whatever music they think is going to get the crowd going, that's what you should go with.
Yeah, it's just, again, is it the biggest deal in the world? No, it's just a rookie quarterback. You don't typically see them, especially if they're not the starter. Like, they know they're the starter. He's a fourth string.
And he's probably going to make the team by default.
Big Hub says neither of those guys have won an AFC championship. Yeah, but the numbers, they're considered elite quarterbacks. Like, I'm probably going to say, if I would vote on whether players should do that at all, I would say, probably not. But if Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen did it, yeah, it's fine with me. Okay, that's a little out of character, but coming in with a different swagger. I mean, Josh Allen just can't seem to get past the Chiefs, so maybe he's got to boost his ego up in a different way this year. I don't know. Lamar Jackson, same way. He can't get over that hump. So maybe they need to play some boombox. 25 minutes after the hour. I got a couple of updates here. Michael, I know you're interested in this. You're not a beer drinker, but you're interested in this. They're down on the Rocks Liquor. They're down to their last two Broncos blends from Breckenridge. The 2025 bottles they'll be getting today. Those things go fast. So if you want one of those, go get them because they're running out. And if you want the 2025 bottles, you need to get down there at On the Rocks Liquor. Our game beer of the week is the Pink Raptor. It's a raspberry, soursop, and plum ale from Tight Knit Brewing. Right here in our own backyard here in Greeley. It's just the right amount of perfect to end the summer. Wow. The summer is over. Kids are back in school. College kids, I think, get back to school this week. So, yeah, that usually means the end of summer.
The end of summer would probably in a month from now.
I usually say once we hit September.
Officially.
Well, it's officially like the 20th or something, isn't it?
Yeah, September 20th.
But in my brain, fall is September, October, November-ish. That's where my brain is.
As soon as the first preseason game happens, it's like officially fall in my brain.
I always felt like once the stampede was over around here, it felt like summer was wrapping up. But
very,
that's early
very,
July.
Warm fall.
Yeah, but mentally, because, you know, you got football back and training camp and all of that. Oh, yeah, I was going to hit this. This also kind of relates. Auburn set to retire the number two jersey of Cam Newton. Guy won the Heisman Trophy in 2010 before leading them to a national title that season. Also ties into another number two, Shedeur Sanders. His jersey number is retired as well.
Yeah, but one of them's not like the other.
Yeah.
Listen, Cam Newton kind of deserves it.
It sounds like I'm going at Shedeur here, but listen, I am a greatness guy. My Hall of Fame is strict. So if you're going to retire numbers, that guy is the guy. John Elway type for in your college world. Tim Tebow, when he played for Florida. Want to retire his number? Maybe they have. I don't know. Yeah, it's the greats. So that's why if you get to the point where it's just like really good players, then everybody's eligible. So I've always been like Ring of Fame and honoring players. All right, you want to put Shedeur Sanders on a Ring of Fame? Absolutely. He was a huge part why this Colorado Buffaloes team became relevant again. But retiring his number? Cam Newton? Absolutely. One of the greatest college quarterbacks to ever do it. Makes sense. But this is why you got to be strict with these things. Because if you give it to Shedeur Sanders, If the next quarterback for CU, you know, let's say Caden Salter comes out, leads this team to maybe they're a playoff competitor this year, and he puts up similar numbers, you have to retire his number, don't you? Regardless of what he does. I believe he's a redshirt. Is he a senior? He's a redshirt senior. What if he goes on and breaks the season record and leads this team to 10-plus wins? Don't you have to retire his number, even though he only did it for 1 year?
You have to do it.
That's what you've set. You've set that standard now. That pretty good gets you your number retired. Travis Hunter certainly makes sense for that. Hunter is one of the greatest college football players to ever do it.
Now everybody's going to want to go to CU because it's going to be so easy to get your number retired.
Yeah. So Cam Newton, certainly deserving of that. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Let's take a quick break here, Michael. When we come back, let's take a glance at the running back room and the wide receiver room for the Denver Broncos. How will that shape up when it's all said and done? One more preseason game left, and we got to get this thing down to 53 men. Who's it going to be? It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
The year the UNC Bears turn it around? Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310kfka.
Well, now you're just piling on with the McNutt story. You said you were thinking of like, what are the greatest last names in football? Not family names, just like the greatest last names.
I was literally thinking about this over the weekend for whatever reason.
And Sanders is probably up there because you got Deion Sanders and you got Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
I mean, two of the greatest football players to ever do it.
There are probably a bunch of Sanders out there in sports who have done other things.
Mannings are up there because you got obviously Arch Manning, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning.
And the next Manning.
Or Archie Manning. Arch Manning is the college kid who's only going to add to that. That's how bad this is. This isn't just a football player. This isn't just a good football player. This is one of the greatest football players of all time. Some would say that Barry Sanders is the greatest football player of all time. He just was on a bad team. But some might say Barry Sanders.
Put him on a better team, they win the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. He was a phenomenal player. 53-man roster for the Broncos. Do you think they're going to carry... Let me ask this first. Do you think they're going to carry three quarterbacks? Or is it going to be two?
No.
So Sam Ellinger, what kind of like? He's not going to make the team.
No, he's going to be on that practice squad.
If Bo Nix struggles early, three games in.
Nope.
Nope. Four?
Nope.
Five. Five in.
Nope.
No? Six in.
Nope.
Seven?
I mean, I don't think it's he's going to have to struggle.
What if he does?
Mightily.
When I was doing Denver hits and some certain radio stations down there, I said, well, because they were freaking out about people talking about Nathaniel Hackett getting fired. I did the same thing. I said, well, what if they only win like, how many did they win that year? Four? I said, what if they only win like five? No. They're not going to. Four? And then they fired him. So I'm doing the same practice.
Yeah, but that's a little different, though. Well, he lost control of
what
the
if
team.
Bo Nix is throwing interceptions left and right and we're 5 weeks in and Bo Nix has three touchdowns and seven interceptions? And the Broncos are 5 weeks in, they're 2-3.
I mean, you got to look at the whole team. Are we having, like, wide receivers? Like, it hits him in the hands. Oh, he drops it. Oh.
Just those numbers by themselves, without context or anything else of what could have happened. I'm giving you those numbers, and you're 2-3, and Bo Nix has thrown for two touchdowns and seven interceptions. Probably not possible. Let's go four touchdowns and six interceptions. Four touchdowns in 5 weeks. And six interceptions, and you're 2-3. Is Jarrett Stidham get the call? No?
No.
You're 2-4. He just threw another interception. He's at 4-7.
If he's getting flustered, like if he's starting to lose his mind and confidence,
there's really,
then you got to start considering it. If he's losing the locker room,
so if he
then
does
you
got to
start considering it.
But by if week you're, six?
If your players are behind him, like if I'm head coach and I'm like, the players are behind.
Yeah, but they got big goals. This team believes they could be competing for a Super Bowl. Certainly a playoff team. And if they're 2-5 and Bo's numbers are bad, you think the team is going to be singing his praises at that point? I'm just throwing it out there. I don't think it's going to happen. But Jarrett Stidham has played great, and it does bring up that stupid question.
In preseason.
Yeah.
Now,
playing bad.
I was very excited when they got him. Because I think I saw him two games in college, and he played very well in both of those games. I think he's an adequate backup. I would feel comfortable if Bo Nix went down, him filling in for Bo Nix, but I don't think Bo Nix is being pulled. Like, if Bo Nix is throwing a lot of interceptions, it's because something else is going wrong, and there would have to be a lot of things going wrong. Like what happened, like that safety, for instance.
Yeah.
Like someone's going to be in your face every down.
That was on him. I mean, that was on him. He had an open guy, and it would have been a really quick read, but he didn't make the necessary check, and he got blitzed off of his left side. And that forced him to roll out before Troy, was it Troy Franklin that came open over the middle? I mean, he was open. The play worked. If Bo keeps his eyes right where Troy Franklin's going to be, throws it, probably takes a hit. But then again, do you want him taking a hit?
No, probably not.
Probably not. All right. Running,
but they're not,
running
they're not
backs.
Playing their full offense.
Right.
So.
Running backs. J.K. Dobbins.
Of course.
R.J. Harvey.
J.K. is going to start.
And I think Jaleel McLaughlin at number three. And then there's Tyler Bidet.
Can Jaleel be the third down back, though? Because he can certainly run, but he's got to learn to pass block better.
He's not the greatest there, but he's got some explosiveness to him.
That's the only thing that would get bidet on the roster is the fact that he can be your third down back.
I think he gets on the roster. I think he beats out Audric Estime.
Oh, no question.
So,
no question.
Bidet,
Estime's been running very well this preseason, but the relationship with the coach, just not there.
That's weird because Audric Estime was kind of that guy last year at this time. It's like, oh, how good is he going to be? This guy, wasn't he a second rounder?
Fifth rounder?
Was he a fifth rounder?
I believe
really? So. Well.
But it shows what fumbles, how quickly fumbles will get you into
You can't fumble the football. Just ask Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
Like, what? That was a really good running back that just had fumble problems and never got rid of them.
And the fumble problems were so bad for us. Because I'm a part of the Denver Broncos organization.
Don't say us.
I know.
I go to Broncos training camp coverage as a fan.
Yeah.
With my little necklace and my media tag.
I hate it when other people do that, but then I accidentally do it because my fanboy,
I do feel like it's us. Like, if the Nuggets hit a shot at the buzzer, I'm looking at my wife going, We won. It happens.
I'm wearing this Broncos gear. I'm a part of the team.
You think any player on that Rockies roster knew that Tanner and I were doing a no shave, no haircut bet to get to 35? Do you think it's possible? Seriously, do you think it's possible one player on that roster knew what we were doing?
I mean, I called them all.
I would imagine.
I wish them good luck before every game.
I don't think anybody knew over there. But the only reason I asked that is because Jerry asked us, about. I don't know if it's going to be on Rockies TV. I don't know. If it wasn't on yesterday, then it's not going to be because they already got to 35. The magic is gone. What we created was magical, but I doubt anybody on that team knew.
I think they all knew.
Texter says, how many more injuries before JK is done playing in the league? Yeah, that guy's had a lot of leg stuff. I think like six or so major injuries dating back to high school days.
That might be another reason to keep Bidet on the roster. And also if one of the other teams wants to trade for a running back.
So is that four running backs?
That would be four.
So four, and Audric Estime gets either put on the practice squad or.
Well, you can sign anyone from someone else's practice squad.
Yeah.
So that's the danger of putting them on the practice squad.
The other big one that I'm interested in is, I guess I'm kind of interested in Caleb Lohner, the basketball tight end that had, all he did was catch touchdowns. Like, I think he had three catches last year or something like that, and they were pretty nice touchdowns. Will he make the team? Because you got Evan Engram, obviously. Probably Adam Trautman. And then do you carry... I mean, the thing is, the Broncos are going to carry a fullback that can play tight end, too. So that does change things, like an H-back kind of thing. So it does change things a little bit. So that one's interesting. But the really interesting one is the wide receiver position. How many receivers are they going to carry? Six? You got Sutton, you got Mims, you got Franklin.
Franklin's going to be your number two.
You got Pat Bryant, who I think is going to be your number two.
Oh, really?
I do. I like Pat Bryant a lot. I think Franklin will be the third guy.
Mims is, in my opinion, the asterisk wide receiver because he's just going to be used all over the field. They'll probably put him in the backfield. They'll have him running reverses.
How about Trent Sherfield Sr.? He's made some noise.
I'm not sure, Field.
Okay.
Sorry.
He was good in that first game, and he had one catch, but he was targeted three times against the Cardinals. But he had a good game the first one. Six receivers and four running backs? They go low on the tight ends then? Do they carry a fullback? Yeah, they're going to carry a fullback, right?
Yeah, and but the fullback's going to count as... one of the tight ends. You're going to carry two traditional tight ends and a fullback. Unless you want to carry five wide receivers. They're deep at wide receiver, I think.
They're deep with a lot of...
And they're young.
Relatively unknown.
Yeah, and that's good for you.
Yeah,
No one's like, okay, we got to cover the one. We're going to double cover the one, and suddenly the two and the three get you.
Sutton really needs a guy like Pat Bryant or Troy Franklin to emerge, so he's not getting bracketed all the time. Evan Engram's going to help with that a lot, too.
What they really need is for Franklin to connect down the field.
That could be lethal. Because you get Sutton, who's a sure hand guy, probably reliable, not always going deep, not the fastest out there. But you want a guy like Troy Franklin to take the top off of a defense.
If you can get those 40, 50-yard touchdowns.
Oof.
I mean, that.
Let's hope we can. They were so close last year. They were close last year.
There were a couple of them where it's like just a little over or just a little to the right, and you're.
Yeah. 45 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the Hull Show, powered by Chevron. Michael and I were going through this. We'll talk. Like, where do we think the Broncos are right now in terms of, like, rankings in the NFL? And Michael's like, he was, because Rich Eisen streams on the show and or on the station. And he came out and said he's got him around 8. Which,
something like 8 or 9.
And you were like, well, that's waiting.
I'm like, why aren't they number 1?
Seems about, well, they're not number 1. That seems about right. Because we can get to this, but they're not better than the Chiefs. They're not better than the Ravens. They're not better than the Bills. I don't think they're better than the Chargers right now. Eagles, Commanders, Lions. That's 7. So that puts them at 8. Maybe you can make a case that they're better than anybody in the NFC West, NFC South. But Minnesota's up there too. So they 8 or 9's today probably realistic. There's a game on week 4 that will tell us a lot about the Broncos, even though the defense is so bad, but Cincinnati's offense is ridiculous. And we got our opponent preview coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. I've got the Broncos at 2-1 right now. Are they going to be a 500 team after 4 weeks of football? We'll talk about it. It's a whole show. We'll be right back.
Is focused on the Wellington Eagles. Hear more about Wellington football tonight at 5 on KFKA. Presented by Backus and Shanker.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
I'm just happy we're in these conversations now, Mike. Talking about the depth chart, you know, wins, losses, and all that, what that's going to look like for this Denver Broncos team. I don't know. They have a really interesting schedule, man. It's going to be a tough battle. That's why I think those first two games are so important to really set the tone for this team. And specifically, not just Bo Nix, but the run game. Establish that run game early on, give you that confidence, and then things maybe can open up against the Chargers and against the Bengals. Because I buckle up for that Bengals game. As good as the Broncos defense is, or projected to be this year, the Bengals lit them up last year. And Bengals lit a lot of teams up last year. They couldn't stop anybody, but you're going to have to be prepared just in case, defensively, this is where you maybe take a step back to go toe-to-toe, blow-for-blow with a guy like Joe Burrow and those ridiculous receivers that he has. So it's the Cincinnati game. We'll do that. Opponent preview coming up to wrap up the show. We got buy or sell coming up next. And let's look at the Cincinnati Bengals. Will the Broncos be 3-1, which would be huge before they get ready to take on the Super Bowl champions in Philadelphia? It's a lot of pressure on that game. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. Buy or sell coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.